calling the Tri-City Tips Net. Calling the Tri-City Tips Net. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in the city of Groton. I am your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a peel tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is the 146.97, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio, and also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. The TIPS net is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have questions for the net. We will ask for your questions after everyone has checked in. The TIPS net has three sections. The first is the open net with rounds of questions and comments. The second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there's an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communications should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," release the mic button, and listen to ensure no one else has called at the same time you have. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically along with your name and location, and if you have any comment or question. Let me reset the repeater. Again, this is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim. I'm in the city of Groton, and I'm your net control station for this evening on the TIPS net. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Good evening, here is KA6PDG, Kilo Alpha 6, Papa, Delta, Golf, Kevin, located in Norwich. No questions at this point.
November, Kilo 1, Victor. Steve in Coventry. No questions at this point. I wanted to make sure Kevin got on first.
This is Kilo 1, Delta, Charlie Tango, Dave in Preston. No questions at this time.
Such a long pause to start, I was concerned there for a minute, but net welcomes Kevin, KA6PDG, Steve, NK1V, and Dave, K1DCT. Any further stations wishing to check in at this time, please call now. Okay, good evening, gentlemen, and welcome to the TIPS net. Today is indeed May 1st, May Day. And come to think of it, I did not read anything about any May Day celebrations, but I'm sure there were some out there. And seeing as we don't have a topic on the table, I'll present a quick one. What did you get at the auction or see at the auction that you might have found interesting if you were able to attend the auction? Myself, I saw some interesting things there. Some I bid on, some I didn't. I ended up with a box full of 70-centimeter handy talkies, which I'm going to have to play around with and see how to program them and so forth. They're screenless, so you have to do everything via the software and know which channel is which, I presume. But that's going to be a good experience, something I'll learn from. And I also got the instructions from Paul Townsend on the Simple Seeker fox hunting device, and so I'm looking through that and the theory behind it and so forth. I'm finding that of interest. But anyhow, I think we'll go ahead and start at the top of the list and see if what kind of comments we can dredge out of everybody today. Kevin, K6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
Well, good evening, Tim and the Net. KA6PDG, I guess I can take these headphones off now. I'm using a different device to record the Net tonight. I'm actually using the old 10-channel scanner that I got from you, Tim. And it seems to have a little bit better audio than the scanner I was using for the recordings. So we'll see when I go to load it onto the website tonight if it sounds as good as I think it will. But I think it will. I was trying not to be first on the Net. Thanks a lot, Steve. I'm not like that guy on the other Net that always has to be first. Let's see here. Did not get to attend the auction. I was at the Bell Association meeting, and I did pick up some rather beautiful bells. I won't bore the Net with all the details. I've talked about them on the other Nets. If you want to know more about my bells, you can tune in Sunday nights at 8 on the Race on Net. However, one of the bells I got, talking to one of my fellow collector types, turns out it's partially made of gold. So maybe I shouldn't even say that over the air. Anyway, and I'm curious what I think you called it a fox hunt seeker or something like that. I wonder if that's a transmitter. And that's all I can think of for comments. KA6PDG, back to Net.
Well, thank you, Kevin. And I'm glad you had a good time there with the Bell Association there. Yeah, it's called the Simple Seeker. Don't look that up on the Net, because the Google will take you to look find to devices used to track missiles. But it was basically designed a dual antenna time difference antenna where you listen to the fox and you have two antennas and it keeps going back and forth between the two in order to tell you whether you should be turning left or right with the antenna in order to point at it. The one that Paul created was based on a design by David Geiser, G-E-I-S-E-R. His call sign was Whiskey Alpha 2 Alpha November Uniform. And that was back in the early 80s, I believe. So the article he sent me is long on theory, short on how to actually use it, so I still have to figure that out. And with that, we'll turn our attention to Steve, who had the patience to let you go first. Okay, Steve, any comments? NK1V, KC1TWR.
K1V. Yeah, I had my finger over to Mike. I was just about to pull it because I don't want Tim to stress out too much, but I just had to do that in one of those moods. And I did not make it to the auction, which I did want to get to, but the weekend got a little bit interesting. And I also did not make it up to Thompson. I guess there was the Ikara Ham Fest was up there, but I did make it, which is ham related, to the at the drive-in in Mansfield. The wife and I went out late in the morning, just before the rain, to the flea market there, and just basically to go for a walk for $2. And I came across, which I've been looking for quite some time, a very nice globe. and it is actually, I've looked at some in the bookstores and stuff, and they are what they are. If you want something that looks nice and is readable, they're not constructed very well. Well, this one actually has a wooden base, which looks like it was done on a lathe, and actual brass hardware that goes up through, and the brass fastener on the top and everything. I don't know what year it is yet. It does say this weird statement on the side, something about made in USA. I'm not sure where that place is, but it's very nice. So very nice find, and I did not pay much for it. I talked the gentleman down a little bit, but didn't want to push too hard because it's absolutely gorgeous, and it looks great in my shack. We're back to net, NK1V.
Okay, very good. And I'm glad you were able to get the globe. I've seen globes at various estate sales, things of that nature, and I've always never pulled the plug on buying one, only for me because of the fact that I keep thinking, well, it keeps changing. What countries, their names, and so forth, but certainly it helps to as a decoration and so forth, so that is good. You'll have to find out what country or manufacturer that was and see if they made other things. That would be quite interesting. And with that, we'll see if Dave has any comments on either globes or bells or auctions or maybe something new. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, well, very good. Good evening to all, Tim, Kevin, Steve, for a small crowd so far. Maybe we'll stir the pot a little bit. Let's see, what can I comment on? Let's see, we'll start with Tim's question. Went to the auction, enjoyed it, didn't stay the whole time. Just had other pressing matters. So sold some stuff, bought one item, walked out of there with an extra $15 in my pocket. So, and the item I bought was a Radio Shack, was it Pro 2050, 2050. It's a trunk tracker. It's an older model. I'm not expecting too much out of it. It does function as a normal scanner. Haven't really gotten into the trunking thing yet to see if it will do what I think it should do, but it wasn't very expensive, so I'm, as I said, not expecting a lot, although it appears to work okay as a normal scanner, and I can pick up a lot of stations, so that was a good thing. Let's see. As far as bells, let's see. Well, I can say I've had my bell rung before. We'll leave that at that. And globes, Steve, if I'd known you were looking for a globe, I'm cleaning out a house for a relative, and there's a globe, and I keep looking at it going, well, I don't need one because I have one that's actually lighted inside, and I'm not sure where it's made, but it doesn't look too bad. And that place, USA, they used to make a lot of stuff in USA. You don't find a lot of it anymore. So that's about all my snide comments for this evening. K1DCT, back to net.
Well, thank you, Dave, and maybe we'll get to pry some more snide comments out of you later on. The trunking scanner, that should be an interesting thing to play around with. I should mention that I picked up a couple of kind of like non-amateur radio-related items. One of them was a small weather radio, the type that is really only listening for the National Weather Service announcements. So I'm going to play around with that a little bit. Came also with a power cube, yay. Also, I picked up a Ethernet adapter that plugs into the USB port of the laptop or computer if you don't have an actual Ethernet port, which my laptop doesn't. So that's a nice addition to throw in my laptop bag. And let's see. I already mentioned the radios, so I think that's about it. Oh, and if anybody knows anybody that needs a VCR machine, there are two of them that didn't sell or anything at the auction, so we're toying around with the idea of putting them up at the recycle place. So if anybody knows anybody that needs some VCR machines, or even just one, let me know. And with that, we're at the bottom of the list. I'm going to do another quick call out. Let me reset. Okay, this is KC, Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo with the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Looking for any further check-ins that would like to check in, please call now.
Here is Kilo 1, Romeo Mike November, Bob in Montville with a question.
This is Kilo Bravo 1, Romeo Alpha Yankee marked in front. No questions.
Okay, Ned recognizes Bob, K1RMN, and Mark, KB1RAY. And Mark, it sounded like a little bit of interference or something squirrely with your signal, but you are understandable. Any further check-ins, please call now.
Here is Kilo Zero, Juliet Echo Bravo, Josh and Grine, with a question. Good evening.
W, Chuck, and Groton, no questions.
Okay, Ned further recognizes Josh, K0JEB, and Chuck, W1FJW, and I'd like to thank all participants for indeed phonetically and slowly stating their call signs when they check in. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, I think we'll go right down the list of the new people who called in, and then we'll go to the top of the list. So we'll start with you, Bob. K1RMN, please proceed with your question.
Yeah, this is K1RMN. My question tonight is I have the feed line coming from my antenna mast, and it comes down, and I have a lightning arrestor set up on there that's attached to a ground wire, but I also wanted to know if I needed an additional coax shield grounding kit, or if the lightning arrestor, because it's attached to the ground, does the same thing. I wasn't quite sure. I've been doing a little bit of reading, and there's not a really good explanation of that, but if anybody has any insight on that, I would appreciate that. This is K1RMN, back to Net.
Okay, very good question, and I don't have the answer, but we'll go through the list and see if someone else may be able to assist with that. I feel like that some people will. Next on the list is Mark, KB1RAY. I don't know if you've been listening to everything we've been talking about or not, but you know what the question is on the table. And so any comments, KB1RAY, this is KC1TWR.
KB1RAY, hopefully I'm doing a little better to the repeater, not really sure what's up with that. I've been listening, started my dinner a little bit late, but almost done now, so I thought I'd check in. I don't have an answer for the antenna thing. Antennas are just not my specialty here. Going backwards, let's see, the Pro 2050, I actually have the next one up, the 2052, which I like because it's got extended receive frequencies than the 2050, so that's kind of nice. It goes into 300 megahertz and things like that. in the gigahertz as well. As far as trunking, you probably have a little bit of a trouble with that, since a lot of the frequencies were rebanded, and the older scanners don't support them. Let me reset here. My other comment here is about scanners again. I have to ask, and when Kevin has his turn again, hopefully he'll be able to answer. He mentioned a 10-channel scanner, and the first scanner I had was actually a 10-channel scanner, the Pro 41, so I have to ask what model of scanner he has. Not too much else for comments. I also made it up to the auction. Only bought one small thing, so I didn't break the bank or anything like that, but had a pretty good time. With that, we'll send it back over to Net Control, KB1RAY.
Thank you, Mark, and yeah, glad you were able to make it to the auction, and I'm sure Dave's going to appreciate the information on the scanner, and hopefully his will be able to pick those other frequencies up, but we'll find out. In the meantime, let's turn our attention to Josh. He has a question. K0JEB, please proceed with your question.
K0JB, good evening. My question for the group is, anyone in the group have experience with doing the New England QSO party that's going to be coming up this weekend? And if so, recommendations for what kind of logging program I might want to use for that. I'm hoping something that can just make it so I got so I can print out the logs and submit them without having to do any moving around or anything. And comments as far as what's been talked about so far for Bob with the antenna grounding, the lightning arrestor can be used as a ground for your coaxial shield. A lot of people, you know, pretty much say that the more grounding, the better. So if you do choose to go with a grounding kit as well, it's not going to hurt anything. But you are technically getting grounded by grounding off on that antenna arrestor block because it's connected right to the shield that goes up the coax. But I would recommend, I'm not sure if you got it, a grounding block in the house to ground all your connections going out of the house. As far as the trunking scanner, I would look and see if you're lucky enough to find the programming software and or programming cable for it. I have a Pro 196 Radio Shack scanner that has that trunking feature, and I had to do the rebanding upgrade software for it, and it worked out, but there's not a lot of trunking systems that you can use with that scanner over here right now. What Mary said. As far as the auction stuff, I made out with a couple of duds and a couple of goodies. I got myself a 70-centimeter UHF amplifier. It you put 5 in, get 30 out, so I'm kind of happy with that. It just had to be a little tuned, and the filter had like a little adjustable capacitor in there. I had to adjust it for the frequency, because technically it only went from 402 to 430, and but that worked out pretty well. I did get a VHS player that had speakers and a little screen on it, and it lasted about 15 minutes before it went poof and what the smoke out. So if anybody's looking to donate a VCR, I'd be more than happy to take one off your hands. Hi. Other than that, I'll hand it back to Net Control. This is K0JB.
Okay, very good, Josh. If you want, I can swing by after the net, and you can take a look at the two and take one or both. It's up to you. In the meantime, yeah, good information on the lightning arrestor and so forth. Glad you made out on the UHF amplifier. That's always good. And, yeah, sometimes the magic smoke does come out, unfortunately. Okay, we'll go to the next person on the list. He's been listening for a little bit. Maybe he's got some words of wisdom for us, even if he didn't bring a question this evening. So, Chuck W1FJW, this is KC1TWR.
Well, I have to agree with Josh. The lightning arrestor it typically is a grounding block with a gas discharge tube or some other limiting type device in it, and because it's assumed to be on the receiving end of a good-sized chunk of current, it's usually keeps the shield of the coax well grounded, and you seldom need anything more than that with reasonable lengths of line. As for the interference that Mark got when he was suffered when he was checking in, it was because I doubled with him and it was my fault. So he has 7 sincere apologies. W1FJW, back to net.
Very good, Chuck. And so, Mark, I guess you don't have to keep scrambling looking at your equipment funnily saying, what's wrong with you? There was nothing wrong, so that's good. Sorry, I didn't pick up on the double either, so we'll see what happens. Okay. Anyhow, that's the bottom of the list. And I'm going to do a quick call out before we go to the top. Anybody else that would like to check in, please call now. Okay, that brings us up to the top of the list, and Kevin, a lot of stuff has been talked about, and let's see what comments you might have on all of this information. KA6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
I've been taking notes, but I'll try and go quickly. First of all, I guess I've been slighted here because I'm looking for a VHS VCR that works because I have some audio stuff mastered on VHS. I have for years, and like the last two VCRs I've gotten, like I think Josh described, blew up after about 5 minutes. But you went and offered both of them to Josh, so I guess I'm not worthy. let's see, yeah, that sound of that heterodyne, I'll call it, that you heard when Mark checked in, that's very typical of two stations transmitting at the same time. That's a sound that every net control should become familiar with. And sometimes, too, you'll hear it when we have ducting and, say, the user is transmitting on a faraway repeater. Their signals might be getting into our local area. So, yeah, I knew instantly that somebody else was trying to check in at the same time. It happens. The scanner is a KC1TWR model X5000. Actually, I don't know what model it is. Judging by the buttonry, I think it's probably the Pro Series. Tim, maybe you remember what the model is on that scanner you gave me. And last comment, let me reset. Just before the net, that I've asked to run the net on the third Wednesday, which will be May 15th this year. On May 15th, it will be exactly 1 year since the tree fell on my house. So I think I'm going to put out a little sort of invitation or announcement that on May 15th, one of the things I'm going to invite people to talk about here on the TIPSnet is weather and amateur radio. Now, usually when you talk about weather and amateur radio, particularly in the context of Skywarn or Aries, you're discussing preparedness, go kits, antennas, net procedures, that kind of thing. And all of that is good fodder for the discussion, and feel free to bring those kinds of questions or thoughts. But there may be other aspects of preparedness for different kinds of weather, severe weather and other weather problems that relate to ham radio. So May 15th, if we have time on the net, we'll talk a little bit about that. KA6PDG, it's all I got.
Oh, very good, Kevin. And I will prepare myself to talk about weather on the 15th as well. In the back of my mind, I seem to think that it's a Pro 45. But I have had a few handheld scanners over the years, so I might be remembering a different one. But that's what sticks in the back of my mind, so somebody will have to take a good look as far as the VCR goes. I think Josh won't be greedy and probably won't take both of them. And even if he does, I think I have another one squirreled away at home that maybe I can get up to you. And just as a thought to anybody who's going to play with VCRs, you might want to find a tape you don't really care about and try playing it on the VCR as a test, just to make sure, A, that it doesn't go poof and the smoke come out, but more importantly, it doesn't scramble the tape, because you'd hate to put in the only tape you have of some event that you recorded a long time ago, and poof, it goes. So that's my comments on that. And, okay, we'll see. Turn our attention now to Steve and see what his comments are on all of this and about lightning arresters and things that go poof in the night. NK1V, KC1TWR.
NK1V. First, I'd like to apologize for my sarcastic humor, Tim, because the spelling of USA is capital U, period, capital S, period, capital A, period. It's kind of a thing that we run into at work sometimes. So anyways, it's pretty cool about that to go. On the, actually the grounding, I'm a bit of a fanatic about grounding. Even pre-ham radio, I had some issues at my home with the utilities, lack thereof, grounding, and multiple well pump failures, and just a series of plasma shooting through my basement, and so on and so forth. So it's something that I always keep in mind. And my only advice on it is that every ground that you have, you should try to bring back to one point, which I have like a aluminum plate that everything passes through, and that's where my main ground goes to. And then everything in my in the area of my house and my yard is bonded. My chain link fence, I actually put in a significant ground loop, kind of more for RF than for lightning, but I have several spikes also, you know, nice ones in all, and everything is bonded together, and they all meet at one point, and even like the dish guy, when he came, he went right to that point and everything, and everybody was happy. Now, let me reset. I do use a couple of those arresters. I only have two of them. I still like, when I hear that there's lightning coming, I do try to disconnect, because I don't care what you put. But in case that something minor happens or you're not home, they are effective, I believe. And Josh, on the logging stuff, I know people use all different kinds of stuff, and it was recommended to me a long time ago, the F3 FJP, Foxtrot 3, Foxtrot, Juliet, Papa. I actually purchased this suite. I don't remember what I paid for it. Maybe it was $65 or something, but it has my regular log in it. But he has a preset log for like every kind of contest that's out there. I haven't seen one that I haven't, he hasn't had one for. And what he does is they give you a whole bunch of passwords when you purchase it, and you just simply go on and download the one for that one, and it's pretty much all preset for whatever situation. Like, I've already downloaded the New England QSO one, and it's got everything, all the counties in it, and
all that kind of stuff. So it's, for, I don't have a lot of time to be messing around with things, but I do seem to find time to the QSO party. It's been working great for me. It's not for everybody, but it does work great. Back to Matt and K1B.
Well, thank you, Steve. N3FJP software is also what Tri-City uses. And we've had some good experience with it. Very simple and easy to set up and work. So that works out nicely. And good points on the bonding and, as well as the lightning arrestor. And we'll keep the flow going here and we'll go now to the next person on the list, Dave, K1DCT. Any comments at this point? This is KC1TWR.
Well, so many comments. Let's see, what time, how much time do we have? let's see, getting back to, I know a couple of people commented on my scanner and what may or may not work. Well, I set my expectations low, as I normally do. When I bought this for $1,250, I knew it was not going to be a shockingly fabulous trunking scanner. So whatever it is, it's 300 channels, which is way more than I probably need to listen to, but I will poke at it and maybe replace something that's maybe a mere 200 channels. So that's that. Let's see. Bonding and grounding, yes. I agree with everything that Steve said and everything that I think Josh commented and Chuck. Hopefully I got everyone, but yes, if you have that lightning arrestor out there, that is, you know, with that fast-acting gas tube in there, and provided, as Steve said, you go to a good ground where all your stuff is bondedly happy together. So that should solve that. As far as logging software, I use Ham Radio Deluxe for all my stuff. So that's what I'll be using if I hope to participate in the contest this weekend. It looks like the weather's not going to be great, so it'll be a good day to sit down here in the cave and play some radio. So hopefully that's everything that I wanted to comment on. If not, it was probably unimportant. Back to net, K1DCT.
Thank you, Dave. And you did cover everybody, so you feel safe there. And setting expectations low on, you know, items you buy is always a good thing. You can only go up from there, or most of the time. Unless you buy a small VHF portable player, then sometimes you still go down. Sorry about that, Josh. Okay, next person on the list, Bob. Did that answer your question? Do you feel satisfied? Do you have a follow-up question? K1RMN, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is K1RMN. It answered my question. It was what I thought, but I just got the ARRL grounding and bonding book, and when you read through there, they talk about both, but they don't talk about which is, you know, if they're the same, but they show you diagrams that have multiple things in them, and some of their explanations aren't as clear as they could be, so that's the only reason I was checking on that. I'm confident with my setup and my whole grounding and bonding. So yeah, thanks for the feedback on that. Back to the original questions. I was lucky at the auction. I sold everything that I brought. So I walked out of there with a profit and didn't really see anything that I was interested in. There were a few things, but I was really looking for an SWR meter and didn't really see one come up that I was interested in. So other than that, I think it was a good day, and the club made out. So what we all thought was a little bit of a sparse kind of contribution from all the different sellers turned out to be a fairly decent moneymaker with some of the extra things that we did. So that's a very good thing. And I think I'll hand it back to Nat for the next guy to comment. And then K1RMN, back to Nat.
Thank you, Bob. And good, I'm glad that that satisfied your question. Glad things worked out for you at the auction. And now that maybe he's finished his dinner, he might, maybe Mark will have some more information for us or comments or thoughts on what's been discussed. And as I said before, sorry about commenting on thinking that there was something wrong on your end with the radio. It turned out to be just double keying. So KV1RAY, this is KC1TWR.
KB1RAY, not a problem. I know things can change even if you don't touch anything. wouldn't be the first time around here. I don't really have too much for comments, so I like I said, I'm not really an antenna guy, but the logging software conversation is interesting. I do plan on eventually at some point getting back onto HF and maybe at least trying out one of the contests or something. But at least for this weekend, maybe I'll spin the dial and see at least what I can hear. With that, I'll send it back over to you, back over to Net Control. KB1RAY.
Okay, thank you, Mark. And yeah, hopefully you'll be able to get back on HF sooner than later and join in the fray with all the some of the contesting at least. And I'm going to do a quick call out. Any further stations that would like to join the TIPS net, please call now.
Yes. Whiskey One, Julie, Oscar Papa, John, City Groton. No questions, commercial power.
Net recognizes John, W1JOP. Any further stations, please call now. Okay, John, I'll add you to the bottom of the list. We've got a couple of people to go through before we get to you. Hopefully you've been able to listen to some of this so that you'll have know what we've been chatting about, unless there's something you want to talk about. But next on the list is Josh, K0JEV. So a couple of questions have headed your way. This is KC1TWR.
K0JB, Tim, I've had a rough day. What questions were coming my way? I totally must have missed it. I was listening, but apparently not well enough. It's K0JB.
No problem, Josh. And in all fairness, if I say there's questions headed your way, I should have reiterated them. I've been in the same boat that you are. One of the questions was, if you want, right after the net, I can swing by because I've got the VCR machines in the back of the car. Number two, Kevin, K6PDG, also expressed an interest in one of the VCR machines. So was curious whether you wanted one or both and whether one can go up to him. And I think that's pretty much the end of the questions. Back to you, KC1TWR.
K0JB. You know, I'm not picky. Just the VCR, one or the other. Don't matter to me. You know, even if I'm able to steal parts off of one to get my other one over here working, works out good for me. We picked up a whole box of old VHS tapes that have a bunch of kids' cartoons and movies on them. And yeah, I did make the mistake of using a movie they wanted to watch, and it got stuck in the machine, so I gotta take it apart to get the tape out, and I have become a master at rewinding those tapes. Even with a little wrinkle on them, they'll still play. And as far as any other comments, I am familiar with the N3 FJP, whatever you call it, login software. I didn't know if there was any other stuff out there that people were using, so thank you for the good feedback, and maybe I'll run into some of you guys on the QSO party roundup this coming weekend. This is K0JB, back to Net Control.
Okay, Josh, quick question to you. Do you want, should I still swing by, or would you like to put that off?
Yeah, if you're in the neighborhood, you can swing by. White's always on. If you want, I can even put some put the coffee pot on. It's K0JB.
Okay, well, I've just about finished a large coffee here, so I don't think I should drink any more coffee, but I will come over after the meeting. Okay, very good. And VCR, I was going to make a comment about that. Went in one ear and right out the other, but that's okay. Okay, next on the list is Chuck, W1FJW. Any comments on what's been discussed or anything new you'd like to bring up? This is KC1TWR.
Well, on a tangential topic, on antennas, yesterday, day before, don't remember which, took out my logbook and started looking up the headings that the different signals come in on. I don't do this for every contact, but a lot of the contacts had recorded the bearing of where the direction of where the signal came from and plotted it out, and did not do everyone, only did some early contacts, but it was amazing. The vast majority of the contacts came between 30 and 60 degrees on the compass from Northern Europe, and there was another, a little more than a dozen and a half that came from between 150 degrees and 300 degrees, which were the contacts from the United States. Which, and when I plotted it all out, meant that an antenna should be running, the wire itself for dipole should be run at a heading of 135 degrees or 315 degrees, depending upon which end you're standing at, but essentially should run from the northeast, as you were from the northwest to the southeast, and that will get where most of the signals come from. Back to net, W1FJW.
Thank you, Chuck. Yeah, that makes a great deal of sense. And I know lately, Ireland in particular, a lot of people have been making contacts over there. And I guess if you were to run the antenna from the northeast to the southwest, you'd probably do pretty well hitting Canada and so forth. But the other end of it, you'd be shooting for Africa. But I like the direction of going from the northwest to the southeast, because that would give you the best angle of attack, as it were. Okay, on to John. If you've been listening a little bit, any comments? W1JOP, this is KC1TWR.
Unfortunately, I don't have anything really to add. So when I originally sat down before I took a shower, can I have
pass it back to you. Was there something mentioned about scanners?
Yeah, actually, we had a couple of people to talk about scanners. Kevin has a small 10-channel Radio Shack scanner. We think it's a Pro 45. And then Dave, K1DCT, picked up a trunk-type scanner, 200-channel, I think it was, at the auction. And I think that was a model TR-2050 or Pro 2050, I think is what he said, although I could be wrong. Is that the information you're looking for?
Yeah, I didn't want to start speaking without really confirming that was the topic. I run Bearcat scanners here, and I actually have an old Yaesu scanner as well. I have more scanners than I don't know what to do with. Someday I'll get them all set up again, but, you know, I usually run Bearcat. I have the original 780, which is a good 10 years old, so, and I think it's the 785D, the first digital scanner they ever, Bearcat ever came out with. I still have that digital card and everything. Unfortunately, it's obsolete now, but, or the card is anyway, but, I'll find a scanner other than the digital part doesn't work. Anyway, back to this is W1JOP.
Okay, thank you, John. Good to know we've got somebody in the group that has a long history with scanners, although I'm sure other people like Dave and so forth have also been using scanners for a long time, but they can lead to some good discussions. Okay, it's about 10 minutes of, and I think what we'll do is we'll go into the next section, and I will run down through the list and ask if anyone has any announcements or items of interest they'd like to partake of, and when we get to the bottom of the list, at that point we'll go into section 3. So, after all that, Kevin, any announcements or items of interest for this time around? KA6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
Yeah, KA6PDG, just a passing mention that Museum Ships on the Air is coming up June 1st and 2nd, and I do not remember, you probably know, Tim, who is the point person for the Nautilus activity, but keep that in mind, and I'm sure they're looking for operators Saturday and Sunday, June 1st and 2nd, for Museum Ships on the Air. That's all I got, KA6PDG.
Thank you, Kevin. Yes, the lead on that is Harrison Solt, whose call sign escapes me at the moment, and I'm assisting him this year. And yes, we are looking for operators. We're going to have somewhere between 2 and 4 stations set up. We are going to put one on the pier near the bow of the ship this year. So if you're going to volunteer and go down there, I suggest bringing some sunblock just in case. But, yeah, we are looking for volunteers for that. We pretty much know what we're going to use for antennas and radios and so forth, so mainly it's operators is what we're looking for. Okay, on to you, Steve, and K1V. This is KC1TWR.
And K1V. Yeah, I have no further comments or anything for sale. Back to that, NK1V.
Okay, very good, thank you. And on to Dave, K1DCT, same question from KC1TWR.
All right, well, I think I'm all set, and yes, you're correct. I've been at this whole radio thing for over 40 years. So, scanners in the mix. I have, presently I have 4 handheld scanners. No, I'm sorry, 5 handheld scanners. 3 in the house, including the new one, and 1 in the car. So, I like to know what's going on, even if it doesn't pertain to me. So that's about it. Hope everybody has a good evening. K1DCT, no further announcements.
Well, thank you, Dave. Very good. It's always good to be in the know. And you usually you don't think things pertain to you, but once in a blue moon, it's nice to know what's going on. And next, Bob, K1RMN. Any announcements or items of interest? This is KC1TWR.
This is K1RMN. Remind everybody about breakfast on Saturday morning in Uncasville. If you can make it, it would be great. Scanners I have out in my garage. It's probably 40 years old. It's a six-channel crystal Bearcat scanner from back when I first started in the fire department. So I got a pretty old one, and I'm sure somebody else has got one that's about the same age or not older. But yeah, I've kept that one for years and years, and still turn it on every once in a while. It still works. With that, this is K1RMN, back to net control.
Yep, thank you, Bob. That's good. It's very good. And yeah, I'll be attending breakfast this Saturday, but I will. I'll be attending. I was going to say I was going to leave breakfast a little bit early, but I'll just suffer with the fact that I won't get a low number of my beach sticker pass this Saturday when I go to pick one up. And moving on to Mark, KB1RAY. Any announcements or items of interest?
KB1RAY. Definitely a good one about the Museum of Ships weekend. Definitely don't want to forget about that. I definitely plan on being there as long as it's not raining. As far as announcements, it is the first Wednesday of the month, so I am anticipating a DMR Region 4 net on TAC 4 in about half an hour, 8:30 p.m. So I'll have my my radio over there. And that's all I have. KB1RAY, back to net control.
Okay, yep. Thank you for the reminder about the DMR net. I will have to make sure and get that into my evening's activities. And on to Josh, K0JEB. Any announcements or items of interest you'd like to bring to the net?
It's K0JB. The only thing I have is a reminder. I heard it the other night. The Flying Saucer net tomorrow evening, 9 o'clock on 28.475 megahertz. Also, if anyone, just for everybody's information, the 9-7 repeater in Waterford got relocated from the Vauxhall Street repeater site over to the Fargo Road repeater site. Got switched over this afternoon and all hooked up, so may notice a little different reception on that, but other than that, that's all I have. It's K0JB, back to net control.
Okay, Josh, I do have a quick question for you. When they relocated back to Waterford, do you know if they put it on a slightly taller mast to get it above that other signal generation unit?
No, not yet, but we moved the repeater in for anticipation of having that done, and also returned the duplexers back to Joe that he was letting us borrow. It's K0JB.
Okay, thank you, Josh. That's very good information. I'll have to check out the repeater tomorrow and play with it a little bit. Speaking of which, that repeater is maintained by Scrams, and they are having their May meeting tomorrow night at the Waterford Police Station at 7 p.m. And just a reminder that I think this is the last month that they are actually in a back conference room. You have to go to the window and ask to be let into the back conference room because the main conference room up front is being used by the police for a training session. So just a reminder on that. Okay, on to Chuck, W1FJW. Any announcements or items of interest?
of interest and no announcements. Back to net, W1FJW.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. And on to John, W1JOP. Same question, any announcements or items of interest?
Just an opinion. I think the older scanners are far better than what they've got coming out these days. But like I said, that's my opinion. Back to that, W1JOP.
Okay, very good. And we've been through the second section. We'll move on to the third section. And so anyone that has any items that they wish to swap, sell, or that they're looking for that are amateur radio-related items, please call now.
This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango.
Before we get to you, Dave, anyone else have any item? Well, let's go ahead with Dave first, then I'll do another call just to be on the safe side. Go ahead, Dave, K1DCT, with your statement.
All right, well, I have the West Mountain Radio Ridge Blaster Advantage, slightly used, and has all the interconnecting cables for ICOM radios. So if you have an older ICOM, like a 746 or 756 that you'd like to do some of these digital modes with, you know, the PSKs and FTs and that sort of stuff, this will do the job. Just don't need it because the 7300 that I bought slightly a few months later has all that gizmo stuff included inside. So, looking to pass this on at a somewhat reasonable price. We'll put it this way, for a small phenomenal fee. K1DCT.
Okay, very good. And anyone that would like to speak to Dave about that now, please go ahead and call. Okay, well, spread the word. Let other people know that what Dave has, and in case you have some friends who you think who have an older ICOM that you think might be interested in getting into the digital mode or continuing it with whatever they're doing, go ahead for that. Anyone else have any amateur radio-related items they are either looking to sell, buy, or have questions about? Please call now. Okay, that was the last call out, and I'm going to close the net at this time. Thanks to all who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and thanks to all who stood by as we conducted the net. Yes, we do like it, even if you don't check in. If you're listening, you never know what you might pick up. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month at the American Red Cross office on Route 32 in Montville. The meetings start at 7:30 p.m. and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club may be found at www.tricityarc.com. We thank John W1AN for the use of this repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo wishing you a good evening in 73.